Hello, Asbury. Welcome to the Embrace Radio Hour. Here we are after being off the air for so long. I feel like there's a rush of things to say, but we should probably start with who we are, right?
Yes. Yes. And as absolutely, Asbury University, welcome back to a new semester. Spring 2020 is here. We're in our fifth week, I think, of the semester.
Wow.
And like Maria said, we will start with introducing who is with you this morning, introducing the host and the guest. I am Esther Jadhav, serving as the Assistant Vice President here at the university. And with me is the Maria Brown, who serves alongside as our Coordinator for Intercultural Affairs. And I will turn it over to Maria to introduce our special guest.
Yes, well, we actually have two special guests today. One, because poor Sophie, our faithful student host who always brings us on the air, is sick. So, Sophie, if you're listening, we're so sorry that you're sick and we hope you feel better. You and, like, what, how many percentage of the students are down? Wash your hands, everyone. Stay inside. Please don't get us infected.
Yes, have lots of tea. Actually, it's
drink
really
water,
good for
vitamin
you.
C. You know what? We're just going to give a little public health announcement right here, free of charge. Drink lots of water. Wash your hands.
Sleep.
If take vitamin C. If you feel ill, don't go into public spaces. If you're running a fever, don't come and tell me. Please go to the nurse's office like you were in elementary school. Go to the clinic. Stay out of the cafeteria. We're just asking for simple things here. Seriously, stay in your rooms. Text us. We will bring you food. In my hazmat suit. So we hope that all the students who are not feeling well do get to feeling better. It's been a rough flu season with some rough weather. So all that to say, Sophie, we hope you're better soon. But with us today is our friend Carrie, who's just graciously come on the air for us. Hello, Carrie.
Hi there.
Thank you for helping us. And we also have our first interview guest of the semester, Annie. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here.
We're glad to have you. So Esther is looking like maybe her headphones aren't working.
Well, I can't necessarily tell if they're working or not, and I just had a moment of discoordinated time. My phone said 10:41, and the clock behind us in the radio station says 11:03.
Yeah. And my watch says 11:10.
Yeah.
Okay, so it is definitely somehow after 11, and we are on the air at the right time.
Here we are.
So, folks, if you're tuning in for the first time, just a quick reminder that our show has now moved to Fridays from 11 to noon. I am so sorry because we got you used to listening to us on Wednesdays from 12 to 1. And so we will be mindful to send a campus-wide email when these shows are rolling around. But we're so grateful that you've tuned in if you are. And if you haven't, then tune in. For those who've tuned in, maybe tell your friends, hey, get on air because you'll get to hear from Annie Pan today.
Yeah.
And we are super excited and thankful that we have this opportunity to share stories, to learn about the experiences, and we hope that we can do this in a greater number, mm-hmm. you know, going forward.
Yeah, it's been a while, and I've been missing hearing the stories of students. I was just telling someone in a conversation about the radio show, and I was remembering again how every time we meet with a student and hear a story, it just, there's always a depth that surprises me, even though I shouldn't be surprised anymore, but a depth of spirituality. It always points us to Christ and to this kingdom community that we're endeavoring to live in. And it often brings me and Esther too, I think, to tears, because many times the stories are just so moving. No pressure, Annie. But our students have so much to offer, mm-hmm. and I learn so much every time I hear a story. So I'm excited. It's taken us a while to get back on the air, already February 2020. But I'm looking forward to to hearing more stories from students. So, Annie, tell us a little bit about yourself for a student who maybe knows nothing about you.
Okay.
Tell us where we would find you on campus. Tell us where you're from. All those things.
Okay. I am a junior. I am an intercultural studies major with a worship arts minor. And you can probably, you can probably find me in my apartment playing solitaire while watching a documentary with a cup of coffee. Yeah.
In your apartment playing solitaire watching
documentaries. What kind of documentaries?
I watch like all kinds of documentary. I was really, really into the pandemic one. And my roommate and I really, really like that Explain It series on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I watch like almost everything.
Annie, that's quite the combination.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's cool, though. That's quite a combination. And it's
so
cool.
So you watched the one on pandemics.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That must have been uplifting.
Yeah.
And not at all frightening.
Not really. And we also, I just watched like another documentary on like childbirth and everything, and it just scared me. Yeah, I was like in my blanket. I'm like, I don't want to have babies.
Okay. So did you say your major? I think I missed it at the beginning.
Intercultural studies.
So Annie, yes. Tell us what you would like to do with that.
Right now I am looking for, so I'm going to do an internship in Lebanon this summer. Which is really exciting. Yeah. And I'll be working with refugee camps, mm-hmm. and women ministry and children ministry and with social media marketing. So I am an intercultural studies major with an emphasis in business as mission.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, kind of do a lot of like admin stuff with mm-hmm. missionary organizations. So I'm looking into that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this internship, which sounds amazing,
mm-hmm.
Is this what you would like to end up doing? So I hear refugee, you know, overseas work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, right now I'm like I still don't know where I'm going to go after graduation yet, mm-hmm. even though it's still like a year and a couple of months away. But my parents are moving again, and my permit to go back to China is about to expire, mm-hmm. so I really don't know where I'm going to end up to be.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
So, Annie, all that is really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But tell us a little bit about your cultural background. So there's lots of pieces there, and as I've gotten to know you, mm-hmm. I'm always like, oh, you do that too.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm thinking of the scuba diving for garbage, but, you know, you don't have to start there.
Okay, yeah. I grew up in many different places, just like moving back and forth. So I was born in Taiwan, and my family moved to China when I was two. And then my parents started doing church planning and a lot of missions in China. So I lived in this city, Shanghai. It's a huge city. And then when I was in third grade, my mom got cancer. So we moved back to Taiwan for a couple years. Mm-hmm. And then after she was cancer free, we moved back to China, the same city, and stayed there my whole life. But like, we travel a lot over like summer. So I grew up in like almost every summer we'll go to Hong Kong. And there was one year my dad was sent to Canada. So we lived there for like a couple of months and moved back. So yeah.
Wow. So lots of different cultural influences
mm-hmm.
for you.
Yeah.
Right. And so how many languages do you speak, Annie?
Well, two official languages, mm-hmm. so English and Mandarin Chinese, but I am fluent in two dialects, mm-hmm. Shanghainese and Taiwanese.
Wow.
Yeah.
And when you go home, what does your family speak together?
So my parents tried really hard to not let us learn Taiwanese, the dialect.
Well, why was that?
Because they wanted to keep the language to themselves.
So they could talk and you didn't know?
Yeah. But
That's a genius idea. Like too late for my kids, but wow, good idea.
But like I said, we've moved back to Taiwan for like a couple years when my mom got cancer, and they just like put us in like a public Taiwanese school. And no one liked me because, like, my accent is different, even though, like, Mandarin Chinese is, like, almost the same, but, like, with different accents. Mm-hmm. Like, the kids at school didn't like me. But I was, well, I'm a seven, and I love, like, people. So I just forced myself to learn the accent and learn Taiwanese so I can, like, be friends with anyone else. So like, I secretly learned the language. And my parents were like, I didn't know you know Taiwanese. I'm like,
Did they stop talking as much in front of you then?
Yes. They were like, close your door and they, yeah.
Annie, I am connecting the dots a little bit between your story and the conversation we are having on our campus about, you know, why do we care about culture, ethnicity, you know, getting to know folks. So I want to kind of connect those dots and start us out with a point in your story, you know, when you say that you taught yourself, you taught yourself the language, you wanted to be able to connect and make friends. Mm-hmm. And so could you use that part of your story and share with us why connecting is critical, or why connecting with others or being able to relate with others is an essential part, if not the first step, of crossing boundaries, right? So boundaries of cultures and ethnicity. So could you share a little bit of that? Is my question making?
Yes. Well, I think so. That's back in the day when I was like in elementary school, and since I grew up in, like, China, I've never heard of, like, not that many of my friends were MK. But, like, if I look back to my childhood, I can say that 90% of my friends were TCKs. So, like, a lot of them were kids who just, like, their parents got, like, a job in China, and they're from either Taiwan, the States, or, like, anywhere else. And, like, we just ended up being Shanghai, like, an international city. So, like, I was surrounded by, like, all the people from different places, and we kind of just, like, accept each other. But when I went back to Taiwan, like, it was just really hard because, like, no one liked me because the political tension between China and Taiwan. And I was forced to be in this state where, like, nobody was accepting me, and I was so different. And you know how, like, it's just hard to love someone who's different. And especially in Taiwan, like, it's so collectivist, and like this random girl just show up at your school and she doesn't have the same accent, and she doesn't like write the letters in their way and like do everything in their way. So I was just kind of different. And so, but I like grew up in another city with another like identity in China. Like I was a Taiwanese who lives in China. So like I kind of have the flexibility to like make the effort to like change my accent or like change my action so that I can connect with different people, if that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense, Annie. So three important takeaways that I hear just from your response to the first question is that you came in contact with the experience of feeling different. Mm-hmm. And that led you to taking the next step of, I'm going to figure out what I need to do in order to survive. Mm-hmm. You know, to be able to, so getting in contact with something that allows you the experience of difference is what generates in us the need, not just the desire, but the need that, oh, I need to do something different.
Yeah.
And the other piece, you know, for our campus, I think what's important is to recognize that Annie grew up in a context that was naturally diverse. It came with the ethnic and cultural diversity mm-hmm. in people populations, mm-hmm. right? And so oftentimes the disadvantage of many of our contexts on our campus mm-hmm. is that we don't come from naturally diverse places where mm-hmm. we get to live with black or brown mm-hmm. ethnicities that are distinctly, right? So not just, I think Maria and I did an event a couple semesters ago, and the student framed it so well that I don't have the option but to wear my ethnicity. So, mm-hmm. so the brown and the black is more obvious because it's there. It's present in the yeah. makeup of a human being. Mm-hmm. I think where we need to start building the bridge in this conversation is recognizing that it's not just brown or black. Mm-hmm. It's also white, because mm-hmm. white is an ethnicity.
Yeah.
And so I hope that as we are on the radio with you, students, staff, faculty, that we will somehow also consider the aspect of recognizing what is the Caucasian mm-hmm. ethnicity, what is the white ethnicity, right? Mm-hmm. So you've helped us really recognize two critical pieces. So thank you for that.
Yeah, Annie, as I hear your story, I have actually lots of things I would like to, lots yeah. of different trails mm-hmm. I'd like to go down. But I think going off of what Esther was just saying about you experiencing feeling different. Mm-hmm. You are a third culture kid, right? So yeah. most of our third culture students here at Asbury have been American students yeah. growing up overseas. Mm-hmm. But more and more, we have yeah. students like you who are, mm-hmm. Who were born in one country, lived in another, and now have ended up in the mm-hmm. United States. And so you have this really rich third culture perspective, yeah. right? Of like, and I think your words were like, no one accepted me. You felt your difference so strongly. Mm-hmm. And you said, I made the effort to figure out how to fit in. So the burden mm-hmm. has been on you to say, well, I am the one that's sticking out. I'm the one that's yeah. not fitting in. And you took it upon yourself to figure out how to fit in, how mm-hmm. to feel like you belonged, right? So I'm wondering, for our context here, what can our community do, or what does our community do, but what can we do in the future that would help students who maybe have feelings like yours, like, oh, I'm coming into this context where I don't fit. How can we as a community not place the burden on that individual student to figure out how to fit in?
That's an interesting question.
It wasn't on the paper either, so I kind of yeah. threw that one at you.
I feel like as TCKs, I feel like most of the time we are more flexible, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean, and we're usually the ones who make changes mm-hmm. to build the bridges. But that, I think one thing that's very important is that that doesn't mean we don't get hurt, like our feelings don't get hurt. Mm. But like, just because like we kind of have that like background of like forcing to like leave places and go to new places and adapt new cultures, so we kind of are like more, we're like more flexible, so we're just like not tell anyone that we're hurt, and like mm. we tend to not like show our emotions, because like we will ask ourselves if it's necessary to like actually make sure that they know what we're feeling at the mm. moment. Mm-hmm. But that also means like it's harder for us to like actually make, at least for me, it's like harder for me to make a deep connection with people. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, well, I might be leaving in like a couple of years. Mm-hmm. So do I really need this relationship mm-hmm. here?
Yeah. So some of your transitions have been a gift, because it has made you flexible, adaptable. Mm-hmm. You've really learned how to probably pretty quickly fit into the group that you're in. Mm-hmm. But two, maybe difficult things have come out of that. One, not being able to go as deep mm-hmm. with people. But two, and I just totally lost my train of thought. It was a really good one. I was thinking about what you were saying with people may not know how you feel,
yeah.
right? So you've learned to be so flexible mm-hmm. that, and maybe particularly our community might assume that our students who are adapting mm-hmm. are doing great, and yeah. and interpret that as never feeling hurt or never needing extra care.
Yeah, right? I think it's just because, like, we're often brought to places by our parents. Mm-hmm. So, like, we didn't get a say during that process. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of, like, natural for us to be like, oh, yeah, like, this happened again, like, or, like, someone said something that's very offensive, and I'll just be like, yeah, it's fine. I probably won't see this person mm-hmm. in, like, 5 years, so it's mm-hmm. fine. But
right.
Yeah.
So you may, because those relationships tend to be more transient, you may not go deep into a community mm-hmm. and try to address
yeah.
issues. Right. Which can be a healthy
skill. I think there's good and bad
right.
in it.
Right. But also maybe means that there are times when things are not going great, when
yeah.
you are feeling things deeply and it's mm-hmm. not being addressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's like, it's getting like harder as I like stay in this place like for like over two years now. And I'm just like, I do love these people. Mm-hmm. And I really wish that they know how to love other people well.
Hmm.
Like, in the lens of like seeing different cultures and respecting different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like sometimes I'll just be like, yeah, I should have said something like mm. 2 years ago when he or she did that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah. So there's some regrets in there.
Right. So maybe being invested in this community for as long as you have been,
mm-hmm.
and it's not as transient as some of your other growing up years, is helping you to say, maybe I can be part of the change of helping us
yeah.
to love other people well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is a gift to our campus for sure. I think that we're ready to take a break now, a short break. And so we will be back soon with more questions for Annie. Annie, thank you for being with us. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Pan and Esther Jadhav, and we hope that you will become a regular listener to the Embrace Radio Hour. It is a delight to be able to share the stories of our students with you and trust that these stories, these experiences are creating within us a level of understanding that allows us to engage with one another. So as we continue our conversation with Annie this morning, we want to talk a little bit about how the aspect of one's faith informs one's understanding on race relations, right? So not just for me personally, but here at Asbury University, that is a very that's an essential, mm-hmm. critical part of who we are. And so how does our faith inform race relations? Or how should, mm-hmm. if I were to turn that question around, how should race relations be informed by our faith?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there are so many dimensions to this piece, Annie. So feel free yeah. to take it from whichever perspective.
Yeah, well, first of all, I feel like as Christian and as we are like students at Asbury, we talk about like community, this word, like really, really often. And I was just reading the other day and I was talking to my mom on the phone and I was just telling her like how like when we're like sharing the gospel, one like Bible verse we use all the time is just John 3:16, and it talks about the love of God and love of Jesus. Mm. And I was talking to her about like we are created in the image of God, and so we have the spirit of God, which is loving people well. Mm. And loving people well has like so many like aspects of it just itself. But I think one thing that I see is important right now is when I'm loving other people, it not only means I need to respect their culture, it also means that I also need to let them know how they can see other cultures in a different perspective, that they're also respecting other people's culture. Mm. So I think like it's important for us Christian to like partaking in educating people on how we can like respect other people's cultures.
And that is such a gift for our campus, right? So you not that the burden falls on you, because mm-hmm. I think we've touched on that, that you have felt this burden of it's on you to mm-hmm. be able to, but this seems like a twist of that. Like,
yeah.
This isn't a burden for you to figure out how to fit in necessarily, yeah. but mm-hmm. how to bring this experience that mm-hmm. God has given you to help our community live into this kingdom community.
Yeah, I feel like, well, like when I was growing up, I feel like it's the same with everyone. Like when we're growing up, we're all trying to fit in and mm-hmm. we don't necessarily like being different.
Mm-hmm.
But as I'm like still growing and learning, especially in college, I just realized like being special is a gift, and it's like it's very beneficial to be different because mm-hmm. you see so many things in different ways. And it just like, it also helps me understand the creativity of God and like help me appreciate like how different everyone is. And once I like accept myself as different from other people, it helps me to like love other people well and really want to get to know them and build the relationships with them.
Hmm. That's interesting. So in accepting your differences from others, it has actually opened you up mm-hmm. to be more loving.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of trying to be like everyone else, maybe mm-hmm. you felt that burden more when you were younger.
Yeah.
But now this ability to say, this is the unique experience God has given me.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of paradoxically opened you up to yeah. be more loving and open mm-hmm. to others.
Mm-hmm. My mom always tells me, well, me and my mom are super close. So my mom always tells me that you can't love people well unless you love yourself.
Hmm.
And I think I like realized that very, very late in my life, like a couple years ago only. And like it has like changed me so much just in like a short amount of time, because like I was always trying to like I wasn't necessarily loving myself as a TCK or mm-hmm. as an MK. Or as someone who has different accent, I always think that I have to be like someone else so other people will like me.
Hmm.
And then, but once I accepted that I am different because that's who God made me to be,
mm-hmm.
I start seeing the beauty in me and in other people.
Hmm. You know, Annie, that reminds me of something that Esther has been saying for a long time, that many of our you laugh because maybe you know what I'm going to say,
yeah.
that many of our majority culture students, many of our Caucasian students will say, well, I don't have a culture, mm-hmm. right? So they feel very much the sameness of mm-hmm. their, and so their experience is so uniform with other students, they feel that they don't really have a culture. So what is their part in this conversation? And I think part of what you're saying is when we can really see the experience that God has given us
mm-hmm.
and accept that we are made in his image mm-hmm. and that his story is being told through us,
yeah.
that it opens us up to then appreciate and love mm-hmm. the different perspectives and cultures around us, because our goal is not to fit in,
yeah.
to be the same, but mm-hmm. to see, which brings me back to one of my favorite, I'm trying to figure out the exact words for it, but this kingdom community idea, right? And what I mean by that is this, if we're trying to live into the kingdom, what does that look like? And clearly it is a diverse kingdom, right?
Yeah.
And so how do we live into that kingdom community? And I think what you're saying kind of helps me put some flesh to that, right? That mm-hmm. it perhaps begins with accepting
yourself mm-hmm. and ourselves. Yeah.
Right. Being made in the image of God and accepting the story God is writing through us
mm-hmm.
in our specific context. And then that opens us up, frees us really, mm-hmm. right,
yeah.
in some way to be able to love others.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what a gift that is for our campus, for you to bring in, for our other students who have come from multiple backgrounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I have a question for you about just you coming to Asbury. So obviously you had a lot of diverse experiences, and
yeah.
I'm assuming we're in several different kinds of schools. Like you said, when your mom was sick,
mm-hmm.
you're thrown into a public school,
mm-hmm.
you're in different schools in China, you're in international school.
Yeah.
So here then you come from all those different contexts
yeah.
to Wilmer, Kentucky, Asbury University. So tell us what it was like for you coming on campus.
Well, I have, like, I kept, like, telling people that my, like, social circles changed so many times just in 3 years. So coming in here, my freshman year, most of my friends were international students because we had the wonderful iTag. Mm-hmm. And
shout out to the iTag, which is now INSO, which is not nearly as fun to say.
Yeah, I like iTag. But, and then I came in as a worship art major. So I started having like lots of worship art friends, and just because like we do a lot of things together, mm-hmm. like we play in chapels and we did tours, and then my sophomore years, it was just like majority of time I was with, most of them are Caucasian students, mm-hmm. and then this year, junior year, I don't want to say I have less friends. I would say like I only hang out with the friends that I think are quality. I don't want to say that. I don't want to put it that way. But
you have made some deeper relationships. Yes. So you're going for quality, not quantity right now.
Yes. So yeah, like I don't usually, you may not be able to see me in public as often. Mm-hmm. As my freshman, sophomore years, but yeah.
So it sounds like, Annie, your experience at Asbury has, as you've matured and developed, you've really sort of come into, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. This is my identity in Christ. This is the way that he is telling his story through me specifically. Mm-hmm. And this is what it looks like for me. Yeah. So it sounds like there's not as much pressure to fit in, but instead to embrace who you are and embrace others where they are.
Yeah, growing up, I'm like always, I feel like I'm like gifted of making friends. Like I have mm-hmm. so many friends just growing up.
Well, you're
up.
A seven, right?
Yeah, I'm a seven.
For our non-Enneagram friends, a seven means you're like the extrovert, right?
Yeah.
I'll do anything. Yeah. I'll go anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, what is the name? How is it categorized? Seven?
Seven is the adventurous?
It might be the adventure. Yes. Yeah, something like that. Seven is like the fun one.
Yes.
The enthusiast.
Yeah.
Oh. The fun person that everyone wants to be. Yeah. Everyone wants to be a seven.
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out my wing. But
I think Dr. Paul Stevens might be a seven. Dr. Stevens, if you're listening, we've got someone else here who's
Dr.
a seven.
Dr. Dan Lewis is a seven.
Yeah, that
All
makes
right.
sense. It's the fun people that are
sevens. The fun people.
It's the fun people. You're the fun person, right? So I won't tell anyone what I am, but it is not a seven. It is not the fun person.
Okay.
So, sad.
I know Esther is a five, right?
Yes.
Annie, how did you know that? Did I share that
with you? I think we talked about
yes,
it.
Yes, Esther. Yes. I think we've had this conversation. Well, I know Esther's a five. She's told me, but I feel like maybe we've had the conversation about Esther in investigating and you. Anyways, we got you off track, Annie. Sorry.
No,
you were saying.
I was saying, yeah, I just like, I always love making friends, but I like realized how it's also related to like my insecurity of like mm-hmm. not having enough friends and like not being able to build any relationships with anyone. And then like right now, because I went to an international school in high school, and I was friends with almost everyone. Mm-hmm. And my graduation class has like 250 people, and I was friends with at least 200 of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I went home this over break, and I went back to my high school, and my teacher asked me, how many people am I still in contact with? The answer was three.
So that was a large decrease.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then so, like, I was realizing that, like, how my insecurity has, like made me want to be friends with so many people, but also made me not being able to build deep relationships. Mm-hmm. with people.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, like, I think, like, being secure in myself, I am, like, able to, like, actually make deep connections, even knowing the fact that mm-hmm. we might see each other in 5 years, like, every single day. Like, mm-hmm. I might leave or go to another places. I think it's still, like, friends are seasonal, and there are things that I can learn from and mm-hmm. teach mm-hmm. with other people.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Annie, I think this happens almost every time we talk to a student, that their specific story, whether that's struggles or victories or, you know, things that they feel like God is doing for them, mm-hmm. ways they're maturing and growing. Mm-hmm. We talk about it through the context or the lens of culture, ethnicity, mm-hmm. and, you know, how that shapes us. But I think I'm always seeing anew, right, this is just the human struggle, right? So for mm-hmm. all of our students, regardless of whether or not they are coming from a different background, mm-hmm. multiple backgrounds, or they've grown up in Lexington, Kentucky their whole mm-hmm. life, this is the human struggle, right? To
yeah.
find this place where I can be comfortable with who God has made me mm-hmm. and I can form deep connections with those around me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you have come to it through this rich, diverse experience, mm-hmm. but really you're talking about a human struggle that all of our students are mm-hmm. going through, right?
Yeah. And also, like, I grew up in, like, mostly Asian culture, and it's just super, it's a shame and honor mm-hmm. culture, and it's, like, when we're growing up, it's odd about comparison mm-hmm. just because it's an Asian culture. So, like, we're always trying to be better than someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming to the States, which I'm really grateful for, one thing that I'm really grateful for is that, like, it's super individualist. So, it kind of forced me to have to think about, like, what's my own identity, what's my mm-hmm. own, like, perspective on different things
mm-hmm.
and it helps me to like identify the problem that I have in my life and like why I would have like so many like unhealthy issues in like back in high school or like
mm-hmm.
my previous life just because I was always trying to like compare myself to other people
mm.
other than just living as my own person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that kind of identity formation takes place internally, but also in relationship to mm-hmm. others. So I think you've brought together for us this internal formation that God is doing in you. Your identity, as for all of our students, for each of us, our identity has to be rooted in Him.
Mm-hmm.
We're made in His image. He's telling His story through mm-hmm. us. But then it is also formed in this community,
mm-hmm.
right, in these relationships that help us see where are my weaknesses,
mm-hmm.
and then what do I bring to the community as well? And so
yeah.
I see you doing both of those things, Annie, helping our community to see a different perspective. You bring a real richness for us, and also that you are internally letting God tell His unique story through your life. So I'm grateful for that, really grateful.
Yeah, thank you, Annie, because as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, you know, my mind is going back to the survey that was recently sent in light of the, you know, BSA Chapel.
Mm-hmm.
And the question that has, you know, been left with me is, why do we have these conversations, right? Why
yeah.
do we talk about this? We've talked about this. We know about this. It's the sentiment on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And while rightly so, we've talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
I agree, we've talked about this, but I think the need still remains
mm-hmm.
because of the very point that you made about learning to love our neighbors
mm-hmm.
as ourselves. And so we don't live in a world that is ruled by that concept, by that theological precept that we are to love our neighbors as
mm-hmm.
ourselves. And while it may be happening in pockets of our country
mm-hmm.
that we do a great job of loving our neighbors, it is still a place that we have to grow in tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is an important piece that we want to continue to have conversations
mm-hmm.
around. You know, it's not that it's a one-time conversation
mm-hmm.
because there's room to grow.
Yeah.
And that's why these. So thank you for reminding us of significant things this morning. That when you come into contact with something different is when the process of discovering
mm-hmm.
how to engage with the different begins.
Mm-hmm.
So students, if you are yet to have that experience, I hope you will get to walk through the joy of encountering something different that moves you to a greater level of understanding. Mm-hmm. because I just want to assure you that in discovering the different, there is so much of growth. Mm-hmm. Growth for self, mm-hmm. and growth for the other. Yeah. And these are not easy, right? Mm-hmm. Like Annie has said, these are not easy. Like she felt left out. She didn't have friends. Or mm-hmm. like when that process began, you walked through that discomfort of feeling left out, mm-hmm. not having the sense of belonging.
Yeah.
So there are so many things to zero in on this afternoon in this conversation with Annie. But I'm grateful, and I think I just want to ask as we continue to move forward in this conversation is, from your perspective, yes. as a student who's grown up in the complex context of Asia, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Because Asia is perhaps not ethnically diverse,
yeah.
but it is
culturally
mm-hmm. yeah. diverse. It's yeah. linguistically diverse, yes. right? Mm-hmm. It's diverse with food.
Yeah.
And so the color is not as diverse, but the practices
yes.
are diverse. Mm-hmm. So could you share with us, like, what would you want your Asbury community to understand about this complexity of cultural differences? Wow. And then how should we engage in this conversation further on our campus?
Well, I feel like that just reminds me, because I was just thinking, like, and like reading some like really, really offensive comments recently came out, like regarding to like Asians. Mm. And I was just wondering why people would make that like assumptions on like all Asians are the same. That just reminds me of, yeah, like why. But I feel like one thing, like if there's one thing that like Asbury students can do better is, I would say it's just go ask someone about their experience mm. and listen to their stories. Because I think, like, you cannot really understand one's life or one's culture unless you actually try to look and, like, stand in their shoes and look from their perspectives. And even though you will never be able to experience, like, their culture and their, like, lives from their perspective, but listening to their stories really, really help.
Yeah.
Yeah, so once again, an invitation to step into the other's experience, to learn. And I'm very mindful because I want to remind our community that this is everybody's experience, that mm-hmm. we need to step into the experience of the Caucasian. We mm-hmm. need to step into the experience of the Black. We need to step into the experience of the Latino. Mm-hmm. We need to step into the experience of the Asian, because there's so much we get to learn. Forgive me if I've left any ethnicity out, but that's the major presence on our mm-hmm. campus
yeah.
is from those ethnic groups. And so we need to be stepping into each other's, not stepping on, mm-hmm. but stepping in.
Big distinction there. Important
thank,
one.
Thank you, Maria. Thank you. So we need to be stepping into those experiences so that mm-hmm. we can learn and understand, because clearly that is the kingdom approach. Mm-hmm. And it gets lost. It gets lost when we don't parse it mm-hmm. to that extent, right? Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I mean, I think those words are what I was feeling with the kingdom community, right? That this mm-hmm. is, this kind of community calls us outside of ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. So I think we have said it several times, but it begins with knowing we are made in the image mm-hmm. of God. In our, he is telling his story through us, mm-hmm. but then it calls us into these places of relationship with people who are not like us.
Mm-hmm.
And you have helped flesh that out for us this morning. It might be uncomfortable. It mm-hmm. might challenge us. Yeah. It might force us to see some things about ourselves that we maybe are uncomfortable seeing. Mm-hmm. But this is the work of the kingdom, right? This is what it means to live yeah. in kingdom community. And so we have to go outside of ourselves, or else we will never know mm-hmm. any more of God, mm-hmm. right? We will be so limited in our view of who God is mm-hmm. if I only ever see him in my own context, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. So I may have stories of what God has done in my life, but until I hear what God is doing in your life and in your context and how he has mm-hmm. used your culture and your experiences to tell his story, then I will always be woefully lacking mm-hmm. in my view of God. And so that I get excited because I think what an opportunity our community has mm-hmm. to see a fuller picture of the kingdom, a fuller picture of Christ, right? Mm-hmm. And so I have said this several times to students. I'm going to keep saying it over and over again. But we cannot be a community, and we will fail as a community if we do not bear each other's burdens. Mm-hmm. And we cannot bear each other's burdens unless we know what they are. Mm-hmm. And we can know what they are unless we are living in relationship with one another. And so thank you, Annie, for helping.
Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, it's good to hear your story. I think there's so much more, right? We didn't even give a shout out to your mom.
To my mom.
Her great clothes. Every time I see Annie, this is a fun personal anecdote. Every time I see Annie, I say, Annie, I love your sweater. Annie, I love your dress. Annie, I love that. And she always says, almost without fail, it's my mom's. I'm like, does your mom have any clothes of her own anymore? Did
she
steal them all?
She does. I will like... take them back and
you
then
trade.
Get new ones.
You
yeah.
swap
so
it out.
Great.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Any closing remarks that you absolutely want to share from your heart with this community?
I would probably just speak for my fellow Asian students because we're more introvert just by nature. Mm. It's just part of our culture. So like we might not be as outspoken as any other ethnic groups, but that doesn't mean we don't have a voice. Mm-hmm. So please, like, get to know someone, talk to someone, and listen to their stories.
Mm-hmm. That's Thank very you. Helpful, Annie. Thank mm-hmm. you so much for those closing remarks, mm-hmm. messages to all of us, mm-hmm. But particularly to our students. And then also the heartfelt comment for our Asian students on mm-hmm. campus. No one is left out of this conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. everybody is a part of this conversation. And so we need you to be a part of the conversation. If you feel left out, please know that the invitation is open mm-hmm. to engage in this conversation with our intercultural students, with those that work in the office, me and Maria, and scores of other people on campus that are committed to seeing the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And Maria has already expounded on that the kingdom of God is made up of all people everywhere. Every culture, every ethnicity comprises the kingdom of God. And so with that, we will come to the conclusion of our show.
Yeah, it's gone by fast. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I think before we got started, we talked about the fact that today's Valentine's Day.
We missed Valentine's Day. We didn't talk about your trip to India. You know what, Carrie? Sign us up for another hour. We've got way too much to talk about. Yeah, it is Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
It's a great day to celebrate love.
Yeah.
Friendship. I tell you what, I'm a big fan of Valentine's Day.
Really?
Whether or not you have someone to celebrate with, I have always loved Valentine's Day. I don't know why.
Do you have plans for today? You do?
Well, I do. I'll tell you. I don't know what they are. They are a surprise.
Ooh.
Yes, it's a surprise date.
Okay.
With Dr. Brown. So I don't know what it is, but it'll be fun. So I hope that our campus has a great Valentine's mm-hmm. Day. Celebrates the love that we have from God, for God, for one another. Thank you, Annie, for being with us.
Thank you.
We will be back, I actually can't remember, next week, I think, with another special guest. We have a great lineup of students ready to tell their stories. Carrie, thank you for your help today. We're so grateful. Sophie, we hope you feel better. And for all of our students who are sick, please take care.
Yes. Please take care. And have a great weekend.
Yes, great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.